I'm Rich Ugger, and this is Emphasis. Today's guest is Macomb native and civil rights leader C.T. Vivian. He was back in town this week to speak at the annual Dealing with Difference Institute at Western Illinois University. It's been 2 or 3 years since Vivian visited Macomb. He's been keeping busy during that time with 3 things in particular.
Right now, I'm national president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which is Martin King's organization, which I used to work. I was on his executive staff, and now I happen to be president of the organization, but by default. I'm board chairman of our bank, which I helped found 28 years ago, and I have my own organization, CTVLI, C.T. Vivian Leadership Institute, right? We call it CTVLI. And so right now, I am under pressure, to get it all done and to make it right and to do things that will solve some problem.
I think most people reach a certain age, they kind of slow down, take it a little bit easy. Yeah. It sounds like you're picking up the pace.
Well, I tell you what, I would rather live that way than without it, right? The man I used to work for when I was an editor at the Sunday School Publishing Board, Dr. Townsend, they asked him when he was going to retire, and being the Christian that he was, number one, he said, I retire. He says, I've got plenty of time for that. And he quoted those last lines from, when I've been there 10,000 years, bright shining like the sun, right? He said, I got plenty of time to retire. I feel that way too. I like the idea of being able to be as helpful as possible for as long as I can.
And involved, it sounds like. Well, yes, why do you think it's so important for people to get involved?
Well, is it because that's the only way the world changes, right? And if you're going to make a difference, or if a difference is going to be made in the world, it's only going to be made in relationship to the numbers of people that take life serious enough and take what they consider as right and wrong serious enough to live by it. And in the living by it, I don't mean listening to it. I mean doing something to make it real. Church is all right for Sunday morning. And I'm a minister, so, you know, I'm not thorn against church. Church is basic to me and molded me. It molds most people in their sense of what's right and wrong. The problem is that to mold you and you sit there isn't enough, because you're really going to learn what the faith is in the action, in the street, in the doing. It's not going to come in the listening.
And we've seen some of that in the past year or so with the Occupy movement.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
I am so glad that somebody's started a people's movement. Now, I think that they haven't been as effective as they could be, thinking about our own movement that was tremendously effective, all right, until the only non-president on the American Mall happens to be Dr. King, all right? They need a spokesman for the organization. They need a theme to go after each one of the things that they're after. Right? That they need a unity of purpose across the nation, right? They have the potential of making tremendous change, but in terms of people's movements, because that's what we're talking about, right? Is that they can be more effective in all the legislation if they really organize and reach the conscience of the people. Now, they're reaching it less and less over the weeks and years, right? Martin King used to say it's a 10-day nation. If you haven't done something that reaches towards your goal that people can see and know in 10 days, they forget you exist.
Right? Is it too late for them to do that,
or
is there time?
It's never too late to have a people's movement, because they have to all switch around in the beginning until they get the train moving.
What about the Tea Party movement? Do you see that as being similar with a different agenda, but is it the same type of thing?
No, not at all. In fact, the Tea Party, as we see it, is more a hindrance than a help to average people, and that's where it counts.
Why is it more of a hindrance?
It is because it's based on when one of their members spits on a black congressman, you know what I think, right? And when I see them, I see them as a backward movement, not a forward one, right? See that base your values, right? Good and bad. There are negative values and there are positive values. There are negative movements and there are positive movements, right? And I think that theirs is a negative movement. I think, you give me a point. I'm not saying that they have to be, or that be what they are at this point can be what they might become, right? But I'd hate to see them become a dominant American movement. I don't think that way about Republicans. I think that way about them.
You told the audience at the conference that you think Republicans are trying to prevent blacks from voting.
Without doubt, but they say it. They've tried to make it harder to vote. We voted on, we moved on one man, one vote, all right? One person, one vote, right? Is it, that's exactly what they don't want to happen.
How are Republicans preventing blacks from voting?
One of the ways is to say that you have to re-establish your even if you were a voter, you have to reestablish it, and you have to have a card to prove it, right? Whereas before, all you had to do was use your driver's license, some official a statement of your life in the country, right? Not now. Not in all states, but in some states. But those are the states that are crucial, and the states with the most black people in them.
So how do you get around that? Is there a way to get around that?
Not really. And that's the point. That's the difficulty. Where if it's one man, one vote, you don't have to worry about it. It's not that that's, but these are states which Republicans control. But then you don't have to ask why very few black people are Republicans, right? Because their history shows that they have continuously want to belittle black vote. Is it, in fact, the fellow that started a good deal of it, they called it the Southern Strategy, right? And when he died, he was so ashamed of it, he was dying from cancer, to get his mind straight with God, as he said, right, is that he had to tell the whole story. And he went through point by point what the Southern Strategy was all about. It was keeping black people from voting. So it's not something new, right? They've been at it for some time. Now, isn't it interesting that they're supposed to represent the American people? We have 42 Congress people. Only one of them is a Republican. We have 42 black congressmen, mm-hmm. right? Only one of them, right? Maybe two now, right? But it gives you the same sense of proportion.
You've mentioned the idea of one person, one vote. What are your thoughts on the Citizens United decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, which seems to grant a lot of political influence to corporations and treats them as persons?
It's most interesting because a corporation is not a person, right? And since they love the Constitution, there's nothing in the Constitution about a corporation ever being considered as a person, right? Is that, that's the what I dislike when the Constitution is used one way but somebody else can't use it the same way you use it, because then they're out of sync with you, right? And that's what I've found in so many Republicans during this period, right? This is the people that holler most about the constitutional accuracy, right? Are usually the people who break it quicker. And it gets used basically where they're in control. It's a difficult thing. Is it because my it's a difficult thing for them to allow it.
It seems like with the majority on the U.S. Supreme Court, they could almost they seem to have almost more power than the president or Congress. They could undo a lot of the gains that you've helped initiate during your lifetime. Does that concern you that could happen?
Oh yes, in fact, that's what we're fearful of. All right, and even the black man that they have on the Supreme Court was not one that black people wanted, right? It was one that Southern whites wanted. It wasn't one that we wanted. We never liked him. We had two specialists in constitutional law, names, books by the one that we really hope would be follow the former Supreme Court justice, right? It didn't happen because he couldn't get through the political maze.
He almost is one of your rare examples of a black Republican.
The one that's there?
The Supreme Court,
He's not my example. He's my example of a black Republican that is there not because black people wanted him there, right? All right, but because white Southerners wanted him there, right? Because they felt that he would not be dangerous to them, right? We felt and knew, and it's been true, that he has not fought for anything that we really have desired.
You told the audience about the importance of reading. What are you reading?
What am I reading right now? I'm reading nothing right now, but I tell you what, because I got all these things that that I'm having to do. But and you know, that's funny that you asked me, because I've got four books stacked up at the place that I haven't gotten to crack yet, right? But I got them sitting there, so if I ever get a chance, I can read them, right? But I have a library of 4,500 books, right? By black authors alone, not counting the others, right? So it's not a matter for lack of desire to read or dislike of books, right? And I want to tell you that this university gave me that great thirst for knowledge.
There is so much information available to people now through the internet. Yeah. Is that a good thing, or are you concerned about that?
I'm concerned about how good it is and that we're not using it to capacity. I want us to. Part of the organization I told you is CTVLI. We use the computer across three states. We're teaching across three states, Louisiana, Georgia, and Michigan, right? And we synchronize with each other in helping students get into college with scholarship.
The Reverend C.T. Vivian is a civil rights leader who grew up in Macomb. Vivian says his parents came to Macomb from Missouri because they wanted to leave a segregated state. They chose Macomb because they wanted him to grow up in a college town. Vivian was back in Macomb this week to speak at the annual Dealing with Difference Institute at Western Illinois University. For Tri-State's Public Radio News, I'm Rich Egger.